And welcome to our, this is the final week actually of our Pray First series, closing this out today. How many have been enjoying this series? Just a little wave your hand, all right, awesome. It's been wonderful, just very, very thankful over the last few weeks what God's been doing in this series. Before we kind of move into the message, I'd be amiss if I didn't mention any big news that you just heard on the video here today on our church news. And first of all, September 11th is a big day for many reasons for this church, but we're going to 3 services that day. And so we are excited about that around here. And so make sure you start planning accordingly, all right? And so find the service for you. But our heart is, we are just trying to continue to make more room for you and your friends, just like what you heard today. And so we are excited about that, honored about that. And how many thank God for what he's doing? Amen, everybody? It's awesome, awesome. And so we thank God for vision and what he's doing in this church. And then also inside your worship guides, you heard my beautiful wife tell a little bit about it, our At the Movies series starting that same weekend. You'll notice in your worship guide, there's some invite tickets, and of course it's free, and we want to just encourage you to get this in the hands of as many people as you can. And there's plenty more if you want more at the hub. We'll have more even in your worship guide next week. But you know, the thing about parables that sometimes I want to just teach us real quick is that the Greek word for the word parable is actually the word story. And so what Jesus would do in his time is teach on stories, many of the stories that people may know, but teach us something that we needed to know. And so that's what we're doing with At the Movies. And so, you know, we talked about this in the month of July, that in order to reach people that nobody else is reaching, we're going to do some things that no one else is doing. And so this isn't an original idea. Some of our churches that we're in relationship have been doing this for the last few years, and it's just been amazing. And it's really not something that's happening much in our community with churches. So we just thought, man, it's going to be an awesome time. And I want to encourage you to get people here. It's one of the strongest evangelistic tools that many of our church friends and a lot of our covering is seeing, and so we're going to have a great time with that. All right, look at the person next to you and tell them, don't miss it. It's going to be good. So make sure you hand these out to as many people as you can. Get more if you need to. All right, well, I want to just close out this series, and I think just we're going to have, I believe, just an awesome morning together in the next few minutes, because we're going to have communion today at the end of our service here, and communion is always just a special time, I think, for the church, and I think it's fitting as we close out this series on prayer. And if you've been here through the last few weeks, or even if you haven't, I'm just telling you, God is moving. He's doing some things. We're seeing it, and I just think the fruit has been awesome to see and to witness. But in our first week, we talked about that prayer is a way of life. As much as you and I need oxygen to breathe, we need prayer if we're going to not just get through this life. Come on, if we're going to thrive through this life in Jesus' name, amen? Because God's not just called us to survive this thing. He's called us to thrive in this. And I don't know about you, I'm not into just survival mode. I don't want to just make it. You know, I want to make as big a difference as we possibly can together. Amen, everybody? And so we talked about that. We gave you some tools. Those tools are still available. If you've been out the last few weeks, maybe you've been vacation. I know people are starting to come back from vacation and school's starting up, and we're going to pray at the end of our service for all of our students and teachers, by the way. But we've got some tools at the hub, our prayer guide. Make sure you pick that up. I think we're out of our wristbands. Y'all love that so much, and so, which is great. And it says pray first, so I guess you have to wait for our next prayer series or something. All right, so but nonetheless, there's some tools out there. And then the other thing that you guys have been doing a great job of, and we're just seeing more and more of it happen, is encouraging you through this to understand it is an honor and a privilege for us to serve and to pray for you, and at the bottom of your connection card to just let us know how we can be praying for you. And just one of the things our team does through the week is it's perforated, so they just rip that off, and so we pray for these on Saturday, so nobody knows the actual names and who we're praying for. It's just a way we just try to keep that confidential for you, but many of you are doing this. Many of you are doing this, and I'm dropping things, amen, all right, and but one of the things that we are just seeing is more of this just escalate, which is what we want. And so it's just an honor to pray for you. So make sure you just continue to do that. It's been just a powerful time for us on Saturday mornings that we are having a time of prayer. We had a wedding here yesterday, but Saturday morning will be right back into motion this next weekend. So don't miss it. Sometimes I've been saying this prayer is more caught than it is taught. And so sometimes it's just being in the atmosphere of prayer. All right. And then last week we talked about what do you do? What do you do when you feel like your prayers are going unanswered? And answered. And so again, if you missed this, make sure you check out our messages online. But 1 Thessalonians, this has been our theme verse of scripture for this series, chapter 5. Here we go, verse 16. Always be joyful, never stop praying. Come on, one more time, everybody. Say, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. He belonged to Christ Jesus. So this has been our thought through this series. Jot this down this morning, that prayer should be our first response and not our last resort. This has been the heartbeat of this series, is that prayer would not become bottom on the list. As we go through the good and the bad in life, that prayer would always take precedence. It would be first in our life. And so that's been our heart, that through this, that also that prayer becomes something very enjoyable for you. It's one of my favorite times of the day, is when I just get to hang out with Jesus and just talk to him and spend time in his word. It's refreshing to my heart and my spirit, and we all need it. And so my prayer is that prayer becomes first in your life and not a last resort. Amen, everybody? And so a lot of people, I think, and we talked a little bit about this last week, stop praying. And one of the reasons why people stop praying sometimes is because they just encounter frustrations in the journey of prayer, or maybe they've seen prayer not answered like what they hoped or what they believed. And so today I'm actually going to talk about answered prayer. How do we get God's attention and to see prayers answered in our life? But there's a question I ask myself from time to time, and I just want to just kind of share this with you, and something really just to kind of think about for you this morning is a simple question with the Lord, but why should God answer my prayer? You ever thought about that? Why should he do it? And as I thought about that, oftentimes the thoughts that race through my mind, is my life pleasing to the Lord? Is what I'm doing with my life pleasing to him? Am I doing what God wants me to do, or am I doing what I want to do? And so that's the thought that I think so much about in this series. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." I think this is one of the keys to getting God's ear on in your life, and is to knowing it's praying according to his will. And so what I want to do for the first just couple of minutes, and I put it in your notes this way, is there is a powerful prayer and a very simple one that was prayed by Nehemiah in his time. Nehemiah ended up seeing his prayer answered, but there's some things that I think, and I want to point out to you, that I think gets God's attention on the matter. And honestly, it was something very near and dear to the heart of Nehemiah, and an expression from his heart to the heart of God. Because again, that's what prayer is all about. It's about connecting your heart to his and his heart to yours. So I want to look at this morning. Verse 5 here in Nehemiah chapter 1, it says this, that, "O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love." The first thing, and very simply put, that Nehemiah did so well is he based his request on God's character. It was, I love this part, because notice how he starts off this verse and declaring the power of God's love and who he is. And it's the character of the Lord in our life and what he wants to do through us. So he bases his request on him. And the thing about prayer, and even within this moment, it's just, I think, opening up in a time with the Lord is just a great time of just reflection of remembering, man, who your God is. That he's awesome, he's powerful, he's mighty. How many know that he doesn't have an "oops, I didn't know that was going to happen" theology? God knows exactly what he's doing, everybody. And so be reminded of his character. That's why, don't talk to God about your problems, talk to your problems about your God. Amen, everybody. And I think oftentimes we get stuck in telling God when God has said, hey, I've given you the authority to overcome these things. And you've got the power. You have what it takes to overcome and to succeed in this journey with the Lord. I love this verse in Mark 10. I think it's a great one to quote. I think it's a great one, honestly, to memorize. And it says this in verse 27. "With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Come on, everybody say, all things are possible. Listen, when you understand the character of God, you know that all things are possible. You know, the enemy's real good at reminding us why we can't. Can I even go this far and say, people sometimes are really good at telling you why you can't do something. But you can't get caught up in tripping up with what people are telling you. Because let me just tell you something. All through the journey of life, you're going to have haters in your life.
You're going to have people that won't understand your call and who you are and what God has said to you. But even in the midst of it, you have to know how to remain in a posture of prayer, knowing the voice of the Holy Spirit for your life, so you're not tripping up by everything else that is going on, but you find yourself in a place of safety and grace because you know what your God has said. And you realize that, no, this is possible. Faith declares it's possible. This will work. Amen, everybody? Here's the second thing he did. Verse 6, he said, I confess the sins that we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. This is the second thing that he did in the midst of his prayer, is that he confessed the weakness of his life, the weaknesses that were in his life, that he took time and said, Lord, there's some things in me. Maybe there's some things in you today. There's some sin. There's some things that I know I've got to get your hand on in my life. That I realize if I don't surrender these things over to you, I'm not going to achieve. I'm not going to accomplish everything that you've placed in my life to do. So God, I just confess my weaknesses. And I think we all need to have honest appraisals of ourselves and who we are, but who we are not. You got to know who you are and who you're not, everybody. I know who I am, but Lord knows I know who I'm not. And there's a big difference. And so you've got to know that. You've got to understand that. And so I think the second lesson that we get from this, from Nehemiah, is there's a desperation that we must have with God, that we must stay desperate. And I'd even say this, we must stay dependent on God. Because if we're dependent on what we can do, how many know we will fail, we will continue to mess up over and over again. But thanks be to God that he sees the end from the beginning. And so we got to stay desperate. Everybody say, stay desperate. Stay desperate. Here's a third thing that he did. I love this. Again, I'm just keeping this real, just simple this morning, all right? And he said this in verse 8. He said, remember the instruction that you gave your servant Moses. I encourage you, when you have time, read this. Read this. I only have so much time here on a Sunday morning. But this is what he did. And this is what he was doing in this verse, that he was claiming the promises of God. I love this so much because he actually is reminding God of something that the Lord spoke to Moses so many years before. Did God just forget? No, God didn't forget. What Nehemiah was doing, he was reminding God of what he did for Moses. And Lord, what you did for him, Lord, I know that you can do for me. That's why it's so important that we know the scriptures and we get in it. We live in just a great time of technology. The Bible app is such an amazing tool. If you don't have it on your phone, you need to get it on your phone. And there's so many things, that resources that we have to us now as the church. And in that, one of the things that the Bible app does have, it has some topical outlines. That when you're going through something, that's the cool thing about your Bible, is that anything that you're going through, guess what? God has an answer for. For real, there's nothing you're facing today that God doesn't have an answer for. Do you realize that? There's nothing at all. And so everything that we need and the answers in which we need are found in Scripture alone. That's why, no matter where you find yourself at, whatever season that you're in, that you can trust God and His Word. Amen, everybody? Maybe you're even in a place this morning you need healing in your body. And we listen, and the cool thing, God's just been doing things through this prayer series. People are being healed. And people are just job promotions, different things that we've just been hearing. I think it's awesome what God's doing through the power of prayer. Amen, everybody? That's what should be happening. All right? That's our God. That's who He's. He's a healer. And we need to claim promises like Isaiah 53:5, that by His stripes we are healed. Amen? And maybe you're in a season that you need to overcome. And that's why it's important that we get in the Scripture, know the Word, and know how to declare the promises over our life. I love Luke 10:19. It says, God has given us authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and to overcome all the powers of the enemy, and nothing will by any means hurt you. And I'm just encouraging you, lean in your relationship with God, lean in to His Word, and let's get a hold of God for our life. But know the promises, get in them. If you need help with that, listen, we've got our leaders that pray at the end of services, small group leaders, ask us, we'll help you. And the big thing, get in a small group this fall. Get in a small group. I'll talk to you more about that here in a few minutes. But here's the thing, do you realize, when I was studying this out this week, do you realize there's over 7,000 promises in the Bible waiting to be claimed? What are you waiting on? For real. What are you waiting on? Come on. Let's take God at His Word and let's believe that He will. Amen, everybody? And that's how I look at it in my own life. God, I want everything. Not just Paul. I want everything that you have. Numbers 23 declares that He's not a man that He should lie. nor a son of man, that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Get to know his promises. Amen. And here's the fourth thing. Verse 11, it says, give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. Here's what was so powerful about this. Nehemiah was very specific. I love this verse. Very specific in what he was asking God for. And that's the lesson within this. Be specific. Be specific about what you're believing for. Sometimes we just kind of, again, I talked about this a little bit last week. We get caught up in Christian cliches and say things that we've heard for years or maybe man that has taught us and say, Lord, whatever it is that you want. Lord, whatever your will is, you know. But God's saying, I want you to be specific and specific enough to ask him. We're going to look at that in just a second. But God wants us to ask and to be specific about what we're praying and believing for. Because again, I think we just get caught up in just saying, well, man, God, you know my heart. But God's saying, well, I want you to ask me though. If God says to do something, everybody, how many know you should do it? How many know it's not a suggestion, like do it? If God says to do it, come on, the creator of the word, I think we need to take him at his word. Amen, everybody? So if he tells me to ask, I'm gonna ask, all right? And I'm gonna ask big, amen? I love a statement that Billy Graham said. This is maybe one of my favorite things I heard Billy Graham say. He said this, that heaven is full of answers to prayers for which no one ever bothered to ask. Yeah, boy, that's a revelation, isn't it? I'm going to say it again. Heaven is full of answers to prayers for which no one ever bothered to ask. Do you realize that over 20 times in the New Testament, God calls you and I to ask him? And, you know, yeah, he knows your heart, but there's a reason why he says ask. And I don't always know the answers and the fullness of, but if he says ask, I'm going to ask. If he says get specific, I'm going to get specific. I'm going to tell him exactly what I'm believing for and what I want to see happen in Jesus' name. James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. Mark 11, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. God is saying, I want you to get specific. I want you to ask me. Ask him. For some of you, maybe a dream, maybe it may be a call in your life. It could be a business. It could be ministry. It could be whatever. Maybe for your family. Man, get specific. Start asking. You'll be amazed at what God will begin to do. This is something that the Lord has just been challenging me more and more because we can just kind of get vanilla in our prayers. And let me just tell you a way to just not get vanilla. And what I mean by that is just kind of just the same old, same old. Is keep it fresh. Because we're all believing for some things. And how many believing for something? Let me just see your hand. All right. I thought I was in a church that was believing for a lot of things. All right. And so be specific, though. Ask God for it. You know, and as I've just been praying some things over my family and asking God to continue to grow me as a husband and a dad to my kids and praying that, Lord, help me specifically to become a better pastor and leader. But here's the other thing I've been specific about that I want to invite you in on. I've been asking God for a building. Yeah, that's what I'll tell you this morning. And you know, because this is not home, everybody, just so you know, we're just stopping through. And I don't know what God has planned, but I've been specific in my prayers. I've been asking God, Lord, we need a nice big four-year area because ours is too small. Lord, everybody's crowded when they come in and come out. Lord, we got to move to 3 services because we don't have enough room for people, you know. And so we need a big kids ministry, glory to God, place for our students, big auditorium space to continue to move. Amen, everybody. So I'm getting specific. That's all I'm telling you. We got a big God, everybody. So I ain't dreaming little. I'm going to dream big. How many going to dream big with me? Amen. Amen. We want more of what God has, and we've got to make more room to reach more people in our city. Amen. So I want to spend just the last couple of minutes that I have here on just answered prayer. And the question I get this from time to time, and it's this, Kyle, does God promise to answer all of my prayers? And the answer to that is no, and it's very clear in scriptures. And one of the things that we have to remember that our ways are not God's ways, that his thoughts are not our thoughts, that sometimes what we feel like even denied requests or unanswered prayers is actually God doing something bigger and better on our behalf. And he does things oftentimes differently, and I'm glad for this. Aren't you glad God doesn't think like you? Aren't you glad God doesn't act like you? Amen, everybody. All right? I'm thankful that he's not moved by circumstances, that he's stable in everything. And so the Bible, I believe, is very clear that has laid some things out for us. That if we're going to see some prayers answered, God's saying there's some things that you need to make sure is right in your heart. Some conditions within our heart to make sure that we're in line with God's heart, that our hearts are aligned with His will. Here's the first thing that we've got to do if you want to see prayers answered. These are things that I'm telling, if we don't get, will hinder your life, will hinder your prayer life. But the first thing you got to do is forgive other people. You must forgive others. Listen to me very clearly. You could do everything I've taught in the last few weeks, but I'm telling you, but it's not going to work if you stay bitter and you stay in a place that you're unforgiving towards people. You know, that's the greatest thing about who Jesus is even in the midst of our mess ups, His willingness to forgive and to forget. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? Forgiveness is talked about more. It's talked about more than any other characteristic in your Bible outside of faith. And the number one, think about this, the number one thing that's related to prayer is forgiveness. I want us to look at this verse of Scripture in Mark 11, and I pulled it out of the Message Bible this week, and I love just how the Message says some things. It's good. It says this: Jesus was matter of fact, embrace this God life. Everybody say, embrace this God life. Really embrace it, and nothing will be too much for you. This mountain, for instance, just say, go jump into the lake. No shuffling or shilly-shallying. Come on, look at your neighbor, tell him, don't shilly-shally. And it's as good as done. That's why I urge you to pray for, look at this, absolutely everything. Love this part of God, ranging from small to large. Doesn't matter how small you think it is, it's not small to God. Everything's important. So he said, praying for everything, include everything as you embrace this God life, and you'll get God's everything. And when you assume the posture of prayer, remember that it's not all give. You got to catch this. If you have anything against someone, forgive. And only then will your heavenly Father be inclined to also wipe your slate clean of sins. I'm telling you, bitterness and unforgiveness can stop the flow of God's blessing in your life. You have got to be willing to let things go. I think the catch out of this verse of Scripture that we need to think about in even our own prayer time is, and this is a statement that I think that I just kind of extracted from this, is Lord, forgive me to the degree that I forgive others. Think about that. Lord, forgive me to the degree that I'm willing to forgive others. You know, one of the pastors I enjoy listening to, Pastor Stephen Furtick, Pastor's Elevation Church in North Carolina, preached a message last week, and it was an amazing message. I didn't hear all of it, got to hear a lot of it, and a part of that message, his title of it was The Prison of Offense. I think there's one thing that the enemy can trip us up with, it's getting offended. I'm telling you, we have got to be willing to release forgiveness towards people. I think the hardest thing sometimes for many of us, we get stuck right here. And I'm just encouraging you, man, if you want to see the fullness of God, it's time to let that thing go. Why carry it any longer? It's time to let it go, everybody. So, Kyle, well, you don't know what happened. You know what? I don't know what happened, but God does. You allow God to take that. Allow God to take whatever it was that you've been through, and releasing that isn't saying it was okay. It's just saying, God, I trust you with it, and that you can handle this a lot better than I can. And we got to move forward. Amen, everybody? You know, 1 Peter 3:7 even says this. All the married folk, you're going to really like this one. It says to honor, husbands, to honor and respect your wives. Can also be reversed, all right, just so we're clear, all right? But in this verse it says, so that your prayers will not be hindered. You know what I find when I go to God, and if Bethany and I have a disagreement, all right, and we've you know, had a marriage moment, all right, is what I call it. You know, the Lord ain't hearing me right now, you know, and I've noticed that in the place of prayer. He said, you need to get that worked out with Bethany before you come to me. You know, it's interesting how God just does that sometimes, and so we've got to be willing to forgive other people. Y'all getting this? Amen? Here's the second thing. Jot this down this morning, is you must be willing to share the results with God. God, you got to remember, God's motivation is yes to answer your prayer. His motivation is to bless you. Everything he does is motivated by love. But as he does that, guess what he expects from you and I? To go and be a blessing. To not just withhold whatever he's doing in your life, but go and serve people. Go and make a difference and be a blessing to other people. So you got to be willing to share the results with people. Genesis says this, chapter 12, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. Come on, we are blessed to be a blessing. Amen, everybody? Proverbs says this, 21:13, if a man looketh and shuts his ear to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. God's desire is to bless us, but he expects us to be a blessing. And there's many ways that you and I can be a blessing, but we got to be willing to share the results. James 4:3 tells us that when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Listen, if you want to see God answer prayers in your life, you've got to be willing to be a channel of his blessing to other people. Be used by him. Serve. One of the greatest things that we could ever see as a fulfilling thing in our life is when we're making a difference in the lives of other people. There's nothing greater. There's no greater fulfillment than serving and making a difference in other people's lives. Amen? Here's the third thing, is that you must believe that God will answer. Simply put, we cannot doubt. Hebrews tells us this in chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, what is faith? What is faith just declaring that, man, I know God can do this? No, that's not faith. What that is a fact. All right? Is faith just saying, man, I think God might do it? No, that's not faith either, because that's hope. Faith responds and says, no, Lord, you will do it. Do you see the difference in that? I just think, you know, the great thing about prayer and faith is it's an attitude. It's a swag, all right? People that understand their God and know that he's for them and not against them, and he's working things out for the good, that we walk with a confidence, not an arrogance, a confidence, because we understand who our God is, and we understand his heart for us, his people, and that's to respond and to answer prayer. James says it this way, chapter 1, verse 6, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. It's an attitude. It's a determination that only comes from God. You know, as I'm just growing in this journey with you, there's tough days for me, but I'm realizing more and more that no matter what happens, no matter what goes on, I'm going to learn something, and that God's going to not just get me through it. God's already making the way. I just got to walk through it. And just trust him and know that he will. Not just that he can, but that he will. It's God's desire to do the wills in your life, his will. And I think oftentimes we get stuck between our will and his will. You don't want that wrestling match, because you ain't going to win that one. You ain't going to win that one. I'm going to share something with you in just a second that's going to explain that a little bit more. Here's the fourth thing that I think is so powerful about prayer, is understanding this. And I want you to get this in your spirit today, is pray in Jesus' name. Pray in Jesus' name. Why? Because it reminds you of the right that you have to pray. That we pray to the Father in Jesus' name. And it's not just we just name it and claim it. God is not a genie, everybody, that you and I are just going to tell him what he's going to do. No, trust me. He's been around for a while. He knows exactly what he's doing. His word is very clear to us, and his expectation for us, his people. And we must buy into what God is saying in his word for us. But here's what I know, that we can only have what Jesus has provided for and what he has paid for on the cross for you and I. The power in the name of Jesus. In that name, guess what? There's victory, there's healing, there's strength. Everything that you need today is found in that name. I love John 14 because it declares it this way. Jesus said, and I will do whatever you ask, notice, in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Man, I triple dog dare you to ask him. Like, for real. Get big in your prayer. Get audacious in your prayer. Don't just settle for where you're at. Start declaring about where you're going. Amen. You can trust God. You don't have to stay here. God's got more for your life than this. I'm telling you, trust what Jesus has provided for you and me. I'm so thankful for that. So if you, as far as you know, don't have, you're not harboring unforgiveness towards someone, or You're willing to share the results with God, and you have an expectation of faith, knowing that He will. You're praying in Jesus' name. Man, you've got every right to expect God to move in your life and answer prayer. But here's one thing that I think is so important. If we're gonna see God move in our life and answer all of our prayers and just continue to see His blessing flow, it's the fifth thing, and that's this. You must have an honest relationship with Him. You must have an honest relationship with God. I want to share this with you. I remember a time in my life many years ago, very young in ministry. Man, just a young buck trying to figure it out. You know, sometimes I was faking it till I made it. You know, I just was trying to figure it all out. But the problem that I had and the issue that was within me, and I'm just sharing this morning, and I pray this helps us, is that I had an attitude and pride the size of Texas. And I'll never forget my pastor, who is so awesome. When I was in Columbus, I'll never forget, he called me in for a meeting in his office. And I sat down at the chair in front of his desk, and this is what he did. He had some keys, and he shoved them across the desk to me. I thought, well, glory to God, bro. Pastor, did you get me a vehicle or something? You know, I don't know. You know, I'm young in this, so, you know, I knew what I was driving wasn't working, you know? So I thought maybe he was blessing me. And so he looked at me, and he said, hey, Kyle, he said, listen, we've got a need in the church, and I need you to step up. I said, okay, you know. Of course, I'm thinking, you know, this is big, man. He's giving me keys to the church. You know, what's happening? You want me to preach Sunday for your pastor? What do you need? What do you need, you know? And he says, we don't have a church janitor, and I need you to be it. I said, oh, Lord Jesus. I thought, Pastor, I don't think you heard God on that one, all right? I think you missed that one. And I remember he said it again. He said, we don't have anybody clean. I need you to do it. I need you to come in every week. Here's the keys. And I need you to do it. And I did it for the first few weeks and I went home that day too, by the way, very mad, very upset, thinking, man, I'm ready to go. I don't know that he sees what's in me. Mm-hmm. That was my attitude. And so I did this cleaning thing for a couple weeks, and I was mad, man. I was mad at God. I was like, why didn't He see it in me? Didn't see the gift. Didn't see the blessing that I am. And so I kept doing it with my dysfunctional attitude, and finally one night I was sweeping in the auditorium. I was actually literally, I never forget it. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was sweeping on the stage, and I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit say one thing to me. He said, Kyle, when are you going to surrender that pride and that attitude you got going on? I was like, Lord, you know what's in me. This ain't the call. He said, it's everybody's call, Kyle. And your call is to serve and to serve in my work. No matter what it looks like, your call is to be a blessing and to serve. And I wrestled for a minute. It didn't last long. And man, God just shattered pride in my life. And I said, God, you're right. I need your help. And the Lord was revealing to me what your pastor is trying to do is to help love you and build character in your life to become more like me. Because right now with that attitude and that pride, you ain't. You need to surrender that thing. And I think sometimes we get in a place that we just think that we know better than God. I've got this handled. I don't need anybody's help. God, I'll come to you when I need you. I'm telling you, just like the song we just sang, every moment I need Him. I can't do this without Him, don't want to do this without Him. So you know what I begin to do? I did that cleaning half-hearted, and all of a sudden, man, I got my clean on. You call me Mr. Clean, because, man, I was scrubbing them toilets better than anybody ever scrubbed them toilets. Man, they came in on Sunday services, that carpet was crisp and clean, baby. But you know what? I embraced, listen to me, the God life. And said, if this is part of the season, I'm going to embrace this. Because God, I know that whatever you're doing in me, it's going to be worth it all. And I'm going to have a life that's going to be, God, I want it to be pleasing to you. And servanthood is something every one of us is called to. Called to make a difference. Amen. John 15:7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it's going to be given to you. I think Christians get stuck in saying, going around saying, God, is it your will? Your will. I don't think the issue is asking God, is it your will? The issue is asking God, am I in your will? Is what I'm doing in your will? Is my life in harmony with you? Because I'm telling you, the desires of God for us, What he wants to do is when our hearts are in harmony with him. And because of that, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if we can get a hold of this for our life, church, it'll change everything. But if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Listen, this is the seeds of revival right here that can happen in a nation. If we, his people, and I want you to notice this, he said, if my people, he's not talking to the rest of the world, he's talking to you and me. He's saying, my people, if you get this, man, this is what I want to do. And I don't know about you, man, I want to get it. I want to surrender. Everything that God has, I want for my life. Come on, how many are in a place you're saying, whatever God wants for me, I'm going to embrace that in Jesus' name. Amen, everybody? Amen. Come on, let me pray over you. Let me pray over you right now. Just bow your head. Father, I just thank you in Jesus' name, Lord, for the power of prayer that we catch as we close out this series today, what you are saying and doing in this place. Father, stir prayer. Stir this, that we realize and that we would ask big, get specific in our prayers in Jesus' name. So Father, I just speak, God, stir in our hearts that we can trust you and believe in you in the mighty name of Jesus. So Lord, I just pray, God, we give you everything. God, if there's anything within us today that's holding us back from you, whether it be unforgiveness, God, whether it be bitterness, whether it may be pride, whatever it may be, that God, that we realize it's time to lay this down and really trust that this isn't just a Sunday thing. This is a relational thing that you're trying to do in us right here. So Father, I pray your word moves within our hearts today and it comes alive like never before. And if you're here right now and you don't have a relationship with God, I want to encourage you right now to make this decision to follow Jesus. Come on, if you're in a place today that you know, I'm just lost without God. I need to come home to. Maybe you drifted away from God for whatever reason, but today is your day. You need to step back into that relationship with him. It's time for it. Come on, if that's you, wherever you're at, with every head bowed, all eyes closed, shoot up your hand right now. Say, man, that's me. I need to put God first again. I need to respond to him in this place. Come on, if that's you, awesome. Thank you. Come on, anybody else that says, man, awesome. Proud of you. Anybody else that says, man, that's me. Thank you so much. Thank you, man. Praise God. Awesome. Thank you, sir. Come on, we're going to pray together. Let's pray. Let's pray. Pray with everything within you right now. Come on, let's believe. And for those that raise your hand, just believe it in your heart as you speak this out. Say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I give my life to you. Make me brand new. I believe that you died for me so I can live. Fill me with your spirit so that I would know you and serve you with my life. My life is not my own. It belongs to you. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's just stay right here in this spirit of prayer. As we're praying, God, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives, in our church, God. Father, I thank you for all of our students, even together as a church, we pray for all of our kids that have started back in school, Lord, this week. Father, I speak that they will be leaders and not followers in Jesus' mighty name. God, that they will uphold convictions in their life in the mighty name of Jesus. I speak over every student, God, whether they're in elementary, kindergarten, God, all the way up to high school and even college. God, be with them, Holy Spirit. May they lean into your voice. And may they become world changers in their schools. May they not be fearful of man ever. But Lord, may they have a reverence and an understanding of who their God is. And I pray, God, for every age, Lord, that's represented even in this church. God, speak to them. Use them to be salt and light in these schools. God, we're in an hour more than ever that we need you. So Father, we trust you. I pray over every teacher, even teachers that are in this church, that are teaching different grades. I thank you for the grace of God on them in this school year. Lord, I thank you, Lord. I think it's one of the toughest hours, Lord, to even be a teacher in public schools today. But Father, I know that you have placed them there for such a time as this. So God, let your purpose, God, be brought out. Father, let them see these kids, Lord, as a ministry field. In the midst of their teaching, God, let our teachers realize they carry the authority of God. So Father, be with them, and I speak your blessing over our kids today. Protect our kids. Protect our teachers, oh God, and our schools in this city. Father, we thank you that kids in this church, I again declare, they will be leaders in their day and not followers. In Jesus' name. Come on, if you believe that, let's put our hands together this morning. Come on, everybody. Amen.